The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Hello, Talk Tuners. Hello, hello, hello. We are here in January with you, and we're looking ahead to this beautiful new year as we're now well into the swing of 2022. And we are, as usual, excited. I'm Stephanie Myers with Stephanie Pena here. I am grateful for you, Pena, as my co-host. I think we've done some great work over the course of the last year.
Thanks, dude. I'm grateful for you too, man. Ready to kick ass in 2022 for sure. Thank you. Thank you.
We are so ready. We're so ready. And Talk Tuners, if you haven't followed us on social, you might not know this yet. We have some exciting news to share. We are really excited, really honored to now be on the Pantheon Podcasts TV show on VPod TV. We have several TV episodes playing through end of January that are just two full hours of Stephanie and Stephanie Talk Tunes. You can see us in the flesh, as it were. And if you're wanting to watch us and tune in, you can do so nationally via Roku by adding the VPod TV channel, or you can stream the channel on vpodtv.com. And if you're in Chicago, you can actually tune into the broadcast channel for VPod TV at 59.3. So you can watch us on broadcast. And the Pantheon Podcast Show runs Sundays through Thursdays, currently 10 p.m. PT, midnight CT, 1 a.m. ET, runs for 2 hours. Again, we're on several of those episodes. It's just us. So to have this podcast on TV really just takes this, I think, beyond my wildest dreams. So thanks to you all for this.
Yeah, for sure, Stephanie. I want to echo that. I never thought we would be on television. Kick it over to the VPod TV. Check us out. The support that we have is really cool. So it's actually a little bit different than the podcast you would hear on Spotify or wherever you get your tunes, because you have like the music videos and things like that. There's some really cool additions to it. So for me, it's that you're not listening to the same episode you just did through traditional medium. So definitely check it out. And thank you so much, Pantheon Network, for putting this together. We are so beyond grateful.
Really, really excited.
So in other news, talking about getting on to this year, we're getting in the groove, and you know, we had to end it, unfortunately, with the passing of Betty White. So I wanted to bring that up, as Stephanie and I not only have memories around music, we also have memories around comedy. And Betty White was one of the most hilarious women to ever grace Hollywood with her presence. And you know, I loved her. Everyone could say that she was my favorite Golden Girl. She actually was. And I loved her as a person. I know that she had a lot of philanthropy when it came to animals. She was really big into nature, I believe she was a forest ranger. Yeah. So, I mean, just an overall amazing woman. And so wanted to talk about that and just put, you know, my sentiments in the air. So I know on New Year's Eve, I was drinking one for Betty. I hope you did too, Stephanie.
Yeah, she was just amazing. And we come up on her birthday this month here in January, her 100th birthday. Very cool, very exciting. She just accomplished so much. And I was going to also share that what many of our listeners might not know is that Betty was, of course, known for her acting work. And she was also very connected to music, even to the extent that she actually wanted to be an opera singer when she was young.
Really?
Was a classically trained singer who had gone through that training when she was younger. And she had said a quote about, now I just kind of, if I'm fiddling around the house I'll sing, but that's kind of the extent of what I do now, which was modest and self-effacing and kind of who she was. But if you do want to hear her sing, you can do that. You can check on YouTube for various appearances of her doing some singing over the years, from more traditional choices, including Getting to Know You from The King and I, to something on the other end of the spectrum, very different. She did a duet with the artist Luciana called I'm Still Hot, which I thought was pretty funny. So funny woman, musically inclined woman, all those dots connected. She was great.
Oh my gosh, I love it. One thing about Betty White too, so much to talk about. We can have a whole show about her. But guys, I like to gamble. And I really hope that casinos all around America bring back the Betty White machine, because you are there just feeding that machine. You don't care if you're winning or losing, you're laughing. And her gorgeous face and just her whole demeanor. It's the best gambling experience right up there with Dolly Parton. But neither here nor there. Rest in peace, Miss Betty. Definitely will always be living on in our hearts and in our memories. So on that note, now I want to make things like so super sad, but in December, we actually lost a very prominent musician by the name of Vicente Fernandez. And when we started this show, we told you that we were going to cover all types of music, genres, and artists. So today we're kind of going out of our norm, which is normally rock and roll. And today we're talking about Vicente, who is super legendary. He passed on December 12th of 2021. He is known as the King of Ranchera music, which is traditional Mexican music prior to the Mexican Revolution. And it has its roots in Jalisco. Vicente is definitely someone that is very, very, very important to me and my culture. And when he passed, I had to make sure that I got with Stephanie and we talked about him. And she's one of my best friends. So she knew what was up. I didn't even have to explain. I was like, Vicente passed. So, and some of you guys may not know who he is, and I get it. But I'm pretty sure your favorite artists were inspired and respected the art of this talented musician.
Absolutely. Tuck Tuners, for those who might not know, Vicente so heavily influenced top 40 US acts within his stylings. These are stylings he created musically, vocally, and aesthetically. That includes Morrissey, the Smiths, that includes country's George Strait, and it includes others. We're going to get into the details of that during this episode, but we wanted to let you know the full context of all the folks he influenced, because it was a very wide swath that Vicente influenced. And it's, as you know, if you listen to the show, we really do like to connect the dots across, talk about influences, talk about how things that came later did not come out of thin air. They came from an origin point. And so it's going to be really neat to honor him today and talk about his history, where he came from, and what he meant to so many people.
Yeah, absolutely. No, good point, Stephanie, for sure. So Vicente is just the man. And so who is this gentleman? So he was a cantante or a singer, and he sang operatic, very baritone, very extravagant. He was also a movie star. So again, his roots are from Mexico. Definitely one of the most loved Mexican celebrities, and did do that crossover into the US and around the world. So check it out. As far as his accomplishments, the International Latin Music Hall of Fame inductee, he was one of those. He sold more than 50 million records and over 4 dozen gold, platinum, and multi-platinum selling albums. Let me say that again. 50 million records and over 4 dozen gold, platinum, and multi-platinum selling albums. That's pretty amazing.
I just want to pause here and have people really reflect on what that is. Yeah. Multi-platinum selling. So I think sometimes people think of, when I think of multi-platinum, it has to be something I've heard on US radio prominently. Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
No.
You know?
Not. Exactly.
Not at all. Think about this. And then you go back to how he influenced folks. Well, it's because he's this huge, huge star in so many parts of the world.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's, it's just reading that, I can't even, it's nuts. Because for me, it's so funny. And, you know, people, Mexican culture, just around the world, people who just like Latin music, you hear Vicente and you feel like you know him. because when he sings with such passion, and he talks, and Ranchera music definitely focuses around love, loss, hardships, simple life, life on the ranch. Ranchera means ranch. So the common man. And so there's so many different themes in his music that you just feel that, you can relate in some way or another. So his influence, Steph briefly mentioned George Strait. Well, George Strait is a top 40 country artist. He's known as King of Country. And again, Vicente was known as King of Ranchera. George Strait absolutely adores Vicente. And in 2009, he actually did a tribute to him. And it was a song called El Rey. And, definitely it had mariachis, the whole nine. And, he did that in honor of Vicente because Vicente, like George, have similar themes. George is country music. So, George would talk about heartache and everyday life and the common man, et cetera, et cetera. And so there was that tie. And Vicente, overall has been a part of my life since the day I was born. He was known as my mom's Sancho. And so for those listeners that don't know what Sancho is, it means your side piece. So it's pretty funny. So that's basically what it means. Vicente was my mom's Sancho. So, George Strait is, comes off as a very attractive cowboy to a lot of women. Well, Vicente as well, because his presence, he was dressed up in his cowboy hat and his, like mariachi traditional Mexican suits. He was quite the handsome gentleman in his day. And so there are similarities there as well. My mom also mentioned, she also watched a lot of his movies when I was growing up. And she mentioned that when my parents got together, they went on a date to go see a Vicente Fernandez movie. And I'm like, how cool is that? Don't even know where they went. I would love to know that because I'm so used to everything, just being assimilated in Hollywood, but Vicente wasn't Hollywood, but yet he had such a successful career. Speaking of Hollywood and so forth, so Stephanie, check it out. Netflix is actually coming out with a series based on his life, starring Jaime Camille. I don't know this actor, but he looks just like Vicente. It is nuts. This is not like a J-Lo and Selena thing. No. This dude looks like Vicente. And the name of the show is going to be called Idol of the People. Cool. And it will be, it's going to be on Colombian television network, but Netflix picked it up. So it has to go, it has to go world. So let's look out for that. Isn't that pretty cool?
That's really awesome. The connection is so fascinating too.
Right. And then, so check it out. So George Strait is actually, he was born 30 miles south of San Antonio. So again, guys, I'm in San Antonio. For those that don't know, I live in San Antonio, Texas. And so definitely a Latino town. It's about 60% plus Latino. So, but a lot of Latinos do listen to country and Western. And so there is that influence. Funny to say, I keep talking about my mom, but that's just how I just think about it. Cause like, he was like her Sancho, but she loves George Strait too. So it's like, as we were doing research for this show, just, learning about the fan base and just the common themes and, just the whole aura of both of these musicians and how they come on larger than life. And then they own their genre of music. It's pretty awesome. So Vicente's signature song was Volver. Volver. And what that means in English is return, return.
Este amor apasionado anda todo alborotado por volver. Voy camino a la locura y aunque todo me tortura, nos dejamos hace tiempo, pero me llegó el momento de perder. Tú tenías mucha razón, le hago caso al corazón y me muero.
This is his anthem, y'all. Insane. So the song was originally composed by Fernando Z. Maldonado in 1972, but Vicente popularized it in 1978. So now currently, this song is still in the list of the best songs in history.
Amazing.
In history, it was translated into English, French, Portuguese, and 7 other languages. In addition, it was reinterpreted by more than 20 artists. Whoa. Wow. Wow. This song, Return, Return, it is a love song. Let's talk about love and heartache. This is just like an anthem. I have memories just growing up. This is funny. So I was at a restaurant and, you know, we had a couple. We were, you know, pre-gaming before we went to the club. I'm not joking. And this song came on the restaurant we were eating at and having a couple of drinks. And my brother just comes up and he starts belting, volver, volver. And the whole restaurant is singing. Oh my God, y'all. Like this, it's an anthem. And I had no idea that this song is so popular worldwide because I'm just close, of course, with my roots, with my Mexican roots. And so that is so freaking cool that it was translated into all of these languages and it's super popular in Colombia as well. So this song made Vicente a household name. And he loved this song so much that he said that he wanted this song to be sung by his fans when he was laid to rest. And that's exactly what happened. I just got chills. It's crazy. That is crazy. So, you know, tying this back to, you know, how, you know, Stephanie and I in our friendship and talking about influences, someone who was very influenced by Vicente was Morrissey. And I know people got to know who Morrissey is. If you don't know who Morrissey is, come on. You know who the Smiths are. You know, it's that sad man. Because everyone thinks about Morrissey. It's that man who's always sad.
Why is he so sad?
Well, check it out, y'all. Morrissey is literally the Caucasian version of Vicente for my generation. So, you know, and I'm just going to be straight up. The assimilated generation that is me and those that are, you know, younger than me in America, if you're Mexican and you're born in San Antonio, LA, you love Morrissey. It's like on your birth certificate. Did you learn about Morrissey? Check. And did you appear? It is. It's in your DNA. It's nuts. And, you know, I really want to talk about Morrissey because Stephanie and I have, memories around him. And also, it's just really interesting, just the cross culture and the influence, because both Vicente and Morrissey have those operatic voices, the baritone voices, and they talk about the love, the loss. So a lot of people, again, like I said, think, oh, Morrissey's so sad. Well, you know what? I've always thought he was amazing. So, yeah.
You know, it's so fascinating, this Morrissey connection.
Yeah.
To Mexican culture, and it's very well documented, and it's been even academically studied, which is so interesting to me.
That's crazy.
I love, yeah, academia around pop culture. I think I've talked about that in previous episodes. So it is a real phenomenon, and it's really out there. There's a great article in Pitchfork where it mentions that sociologists have tried to explain how the Smiths became so popular among Mexican Americans. They'd said his place in the Mexican community likely has something to do with the importance of rock music among, I'm going to say it wrong, Pachucos. Pachucos. And greasers who were assimilating to American life in the 1950s. And then linking that dramatic emotion to Morrissey's work and his singing voice and his stylings, which were so singular, but linking it back to these lost love ballads, these lost love songs in the Mexican ranchera tradition. And so I know you had seen a little bit about people who called Morrissey a certain name. And I thought that was interesting, but it was as related to Vicente.
Yeah. So they called him the British Chente. So Chente is short for Vicente. So they're saying he was the British Vicente, y'all, like straight up. So that's... Yeah, for sure. And yeah, it is that assimilation. I mean, it is what it is, people. So I'm not, it's not being Debbie Downer. It is. I mean, I love rock and roll and I, you know, and I love my ethnic music as well. But yeah, for sure. I mean, you talk about bachucos and greasers. Well, Morrissey looks like a greaser, like straight up with his hair and, you know, and especially in his younger years, you know, he had like, what is that called when you have the
pompadour.
Hill on your, thank you, the pompadour. And, you know, I'm sure he used a lot of grease to, you know, pick that up and smooth it out, you know. But yeah, I mean, and Morrissey and the Smiths, but we'll just focus on Morrissey right now, just in general. I mean, he's definitely a beloved artist in the Mexican community. And of course, not everybody loves him, but a majority of us do.
Yeah,
for sure.
And has this, right, just as we're laying out in every single way, has this very deep connection to the culture. And, you know, we say all that to set up to say, you know, he's also, there's a flip side to this, of course, he's also repeatedly criticized multiculturalism and refugees. Morrissey, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He's expressed a number of racist statements in recent years towards mm-hmm. multiple races and ethnicities. And we're not even going to repeat them on this show. You can look them up if you're curious. I'll add that personally, once I'd learned about those, which he kind of just decided to rev it up in recent years. After that, I was no longer interested in supporting him by seeing him live. So it's a little disclaimer for us talking about seeing him perform, which we'll speak about a little later. So having to said all of that, he still has this connection in a deeper and kind of other type of way. And then he once said in an interview, for whatever it's worth, Latinos are full of emotion, whether it's laughter or tears, they are ready to explode. And they want to share their emotion. They want to give and show. I think that's the connection, because when I sing, it's very expressive. I'm not necessarily going to comment on that. I think that was probably a well-intentioned statement or something.
Yeah.
But that kind of ties it all together with a bow. I know he is appreciative anyway in that particular realm and sense. So I know we have a lot to say about this.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to lay it out there. And as a Latina, I no longer support Morrissey. I don't know what the hell he's on now, but he needs to go away. But I will just treasure, you know, I really don't even listen to his music much anymore, but laughing at that comment that he made that is, yeah, so far out. He also mentioned, I forgot where I wrote it, that Mexican have great teeth.
I think I saw that. Yeah, I was like, wow, that's all right.
Okay, bro. Anyway, so Morrissey has always been off, but he has given us the gift of some really amazing music. And Stephanie and I actually got to see him at Carnegie Hall. And folks, if you don't know what Carnegie Hall is, it is a beautiful, beautiful theater in Manhattan in New York City. And we saw it in 2009, right, Steph? 2009?
It's 2009, yeah. And we barely got these very sought after tickets to see him. Mm-hmm. I think it was multiple nights. And even then we were refreshing the page. We were sitting there trying, it's Carnegie Hall, right? Like,
yeah,
what is a more iconic venue? So we knew maybe we'll get these, maybe we didn't. But we ended up getting them and we were so excited. And of course it was this epic show, which we'll talk about, but I think about his stylings and his approach live, and then retrospectively, I can see how that was so heavily influenced by folks like Vicente. Again, especially aesthetically.
Yes.
Just these deep, it's longing and lost love songs, and that's what the Smiths are, really. And that's mm-hmm. solo stuff is too, as well. And it was an amazing show. I ended up writing about the experience of the show for one of the music publications I was writing for. And I'd done many kind of standard issue concert reviews over the course of my life. But I remembered that this piece I decided to do is kind of a personal column, a first person narrative column, just about the experience itself that I'd had that night.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a number of years, and Stephanie, I know you and I have talked about this in the past, but even including my teenage years, like I didn't fully get the Smiths music. I didn't get Morrissey.
Sure.
To your point earlier, I was like, this man is very sad And I didn't connect the dots, and I don't understand why. I was like, this is like, it's supposed to be comical. I don't understand. So it took me a long time to really connect with the music. But that night, the performance really connected with me. It really connected with me. And like I said, in high school, I didn't really get it. Kind of as another side, a good friend of mine in high school loved Morrissey, like was a super fan, tried for years to get me into him. And I just never got it. Like, show me video of these stylings, show me all this. And I never really got it. And she was subsequently tragically an accident. She passed away. Years later, when I got into Morrissey, I went to his back catalog. I finally got it. And it was especially after this night at Carnegie Hall, I felt there was finally that opportunity to make that connection with her in a way, and the passion that she had for the band. So that night at Carnegie was really special to finally feel what so many people really felt for the music and what that meant to folks.
Oh my goodness, Stephanie, I had no idea about that. That's so awesome. Wow, that's pure magic right there. I love it. I love it. Yeah, you know, you had trouble. A lot of people do have trouble, you know, but again, I'm just saying people, a lot of people I was hanging out with, and there's a big Latino crowd. It's like, hell yeah, this man's sad. We love him.
Right, and to have that point, right, to be like, just there's a history.
You know, Vicente was our first introduction into this type of genre, this type of way of music, this aesthetic. So when let's talk about the show a little bit. So what I remember from the show is that we got there early. We got there early because I wanted to make sure that we did not miss a beat, right? We had to do everything. Well, of course, we got sidetracked by the merch booth. So we're there looking at all the merch, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, the first song kicks off, which is This Charming Man, which is a Smith song. And we just ran up the stairs of Carnegie Hall, like faster. It was like Rocky, dude. We were just like, you know, just gunning it. And it was a phenomenal, phenomenal set. So I mentioned earlier that Vicente, you know, had a big stage presence with his suit and something that his getup, and something that was really special to me when Morrissey was playing that night, is that he was in a black and white suit. So very traditional, being in that iconic theater. I'm getting chills right now. That's it was so fucking cool, y'all. It was so cool. And I actually had seen Morrissey before. I saw him, believe it or not, at South by Southwest in 2006. So this is back in the day, super back in the day. I had flown from New York back to Austin just to see Morrissey, all right? Because, you know, I was like, yeah, I've never seen this dude. Here's my Vicente here, you know, my little crush. And back in this time, y'all, you could go, there weren't many mainstream acts at South By. It was very underground. It was very local artists. So that's what it was. And so when you know, these select acts, these big names that were playing playing the venues, you could actually stand in line and not have a pass and get in, just pay a fee, $25 or whatever it was. And so I set up camp because I knew this was going to be a big deal. Morrissey was in Central Texas. So I was like, my people, my gente in San Antonio are going to be driving up that hour to see this dude. And they did not disappoint. I stood in line for 4 to 5 hours. And I swear to God, I saw legions of folks, just my two tenors, my Mexicanos and Mexicanos with the red lipstick and the black shirt, just like me. And I'm like, hey, you from 210? Yeah. You from San Antonio? Yeah. It's Morrissey. Like, we had to go. It was so funny. So funny. I mean, I had, I stayed in line. I had friends that came up from San Antonio to come meet me. And it was fucking funny. But here's the deal, y'all. After 4 or 5 hours of standing in line in the Texas sun, the person standing in front of me was the last individual to be let in. So the bouncer was like, we're going to put a pause.
Oh my God.
We're going to put a pause on this. So, you know, make sure that, you know, there's no fire hazards. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, my soul is crushed.
Oh my
God. And so was everybody else behind me. We all, you know, I flew in from New York. They came in from San Antonio. All these people were like, oh my God. And I swear, we just started chanting, let us in. But we were not going to riot, y'all. Wasn't that crazy? We've talked in previous episodes how fans get nuts, like, yeah, secure. that one. Oh, check that out on the Cure episode. That was crazy. So a little riot there. But no, we were like, come on, man, just let us in. At this point, I was like, man, I've been out here. I have a sunburn.
Yeah.
This is very special to me because, again, he is my Vicente. Yeah. Like, I need to feel that. Like, I need to see this man perform. Well, I'm glad to say that we did get in, with just enough time for me to grab a beer and run all the way up to the front. And that was super cool because, again, he had that presence, right? So one thing for Morrissey, Vicente didn't do this, but Vicente, they sweat because they have so much passion up there. And so Morrissey, same suit, but he would change out shirts. That was part of his thing. And also women would throw roses. Well, we know a lot of artists where women will throw, or men, whatever. They're into the artist. They'll throw roses because they are so enamored with that individual. It was pretty phenomenal. That show was so amazing. So that experience in Carnegie Hall is what I have. And I'm so glad I was able to experience that with you, Steph. That was cool shit.
It was so cool. It was so cool. And you just think back to know, okay, he's this end of the line or maybe continuing line from this legacy yeah. that includes Vicente, that includes others that are coming from a tradition. And the fact that even the Smiths gotten this following that they have, I feel like is a larger homage to folks like Vicente and folks who come from that tradition as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Like across the pond, I mean, just the influence. And, not even to say, I mean, Morrissey has never flat out said, yes, Vicente Fernandez is one of somebody who has inspired me. Okay, yeah, but he did.
Yeah.
Whether he wants to admit it or not, because, his sound was not new. And not saying that, he copies Vicente and yes, he's known as the British Chente, but they have their own unique styles, but just the themes that it's there. There's no way in hell he's gone through his whole career and not paid some type of homage to Vicente. Just, hopefully he has in a very nice way.
Totally.
it is what it is, man. And it's super cool. So I wish I would have been able to see Vicente live. That would have been amazing, but I know my mom did and that's all that really matters. So I got to see my Vicente live. So that works.
Very cool. Very cool. And I'm so glad we got the chance to talk with him today, honor him. I know he's doing some great songs in the great beyond. I'm sure the sky entertaining other folks. And I have no doubt about it. Just a real, real talent.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, man.
Yeah, right?
That was a lot. I'm feeling emotion.
Yeah, and I hope folks learned some things today and were able to connect those dots and that we were able to do that for you. Again, just a big thank you to listeners. It sounds like a broken record, but thank you. To let you know, just in case you're interested in doing a tiny little favor for us, you can now review podcasts on Spotify. So, 5-second ask if you could tap the 5 stars on our show. If you're enjoying the show, we'd really appreciate it. Again, as we talked about at the top of the hour, you can go to VPod TV. Watch us on TV on the Pantheon Podcasts TV show. Very excited about that. Anything you want to say to us, maybe something, memory you have about Morrissey, memory you have about Vicente, you can email us at stephaniestalktunes@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on any of our social platforms, Stephanie's Talk Tunes on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Stephanie's Talk on Twitter. You can also review us on Apple Podcasts if you feel the need.
Yeah, guys, please. I mean, we love the reviews. So, definitely let us know how we're doing. We appreciate you so much. And yeah, for sure. If this is the first time hearing about Vicente Fernandez, go to Spotify now and look up Volver, Volver. It's a beautiful love song. And you will not regret it. And thanks again to everyone who comes in and listens. And thank you, Pantheon, for being amazing. We're so happy to be part of your network. This is Stephanie Pena, and I'm out.
Yep, Myers out. Peace, guys, and thank you. Talk to you next episode.
Hey, Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.